Romans chapter 13. This is the second session, which covers verses 4 through 7. And this one is called Christian Conscience. Christian Conscience. So let's read that passage, starting with verse 4. For he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue or customs to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. In the context of submitting to authorities, which we discussed last week, what is the role of conscience in our decision making? Can we know for sure what God's will is in every situation? I think we can, because not only do we have God's word to direct us, but we also have an inner voice which speaks to our heart, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So this passage tells us that there is a twofold reason to obey governing authority. He is God's servant and should be seen as such. Civil authority is primarily a punisher of those guilty of wrongdoing. Unless we are being directed to violate an obvious precept of God's word, we should obey. This is God's will expressed in a formal way by God's civil authority. We can understand the admonition to obey godly authority, but verse 5 tells us that this is for the sake or benefit of our conscience. How does this work? Our inner voice in our heart of hearts, where God dwells in the person of the Holy Spirit, can and does help us know what is right within His will and what is wrong outside of His will. For a Christian in whom the Holy Spirit speaks or impresses the conscience, he knows what he should think or do. When we voluntarily choose a different path, we feel guilty, uncomfortable, distressed. Thus, for the sake or benefit of a good conscience, we obey. We are comfortable within His will. We are confident in our choices, and we can feel a true sense of the Spirit's blessing in our lives. When we disobey, we get a sense of being on the wrong path. We fear that we may have lost not our salvation, but His blessing. This kind of behavior results in a dilemma for us. How do I get back on the right path? I don't feel good about how this is going. Philippians 1:6 tells us not to fear. He has begun a good work in you and will bring it to completion now and ultimately in His second coming. Now here is the catch we should all be aware of. Bringing you back into His will for your life with a clear conscience is a very good thing, but the process He may use to bring you back is not likely to be a lot of fun. You may find yourself in distress, pain, personal loss, or loss of honor or self-respect. Wouldn't it have been better to stay within His will at the beginning and avoid the difficulty He brings? Of course it would. So in the context of this passage, pay your taxes and your debts on time, showing respect where it is due. Now, although I hesitate to tell you stories about myself, one story may be appropriate here as an illustration of a bigger problem. What are we to do when the governing authority tells us to disobey God? What if this directive comes to an active duty military officer from the Oval Office itself? We must disobey and trust God for the result. In 1990, I left private medical practice and joined the Air Force Medical Service. This was at the beginning of the Gulf War. I was and still am strongly pro-life. As a Christian doctor, I had never done an abortion and never will. On the contrary, I worked to help women in the chaos of a surprise pregnancy to make the best decisions before God and for their own good, and the good of the little life that's within them. So I was assured in 1990 that the military does not do abortions, and I would not be ordered to do them. Great! But in 1992, a new president issued an executive decree that all military hospitals outside the United States would be directed to do abortions on military persons and family whenever requested. Guess what? I am directing family practice in the largest Air Force overseas hospital in Lakenheath, England. Here was an order to violate God's law. I must disobey no matter the consequences. In discussion with Army medics in Germany, it became known that the Oval Office directive was unlawful. A military medic cannot be ordered to violate a strongly held moral, ethical, or religious belief. We all said no, and no abortions were done. In disobedience, our consciences were clear, and no one was punished. Praise God for that. Father, you take care of us, even in challenging circumstances where we don't know the outcome. We speak truth, or we act in an honest, truthful way in compliance with your word and what it teaches, but we know that don't know the consequences. Sometimes we have to pay a fine, and sometimes we are not punished at all. But Father, to know that your hand is in the decisions that are made around us, so that we might glorify your name in a kind and gentle but firm way, is such an opportunity and such a blessing. I thank you for it in my life and the life of those that are listening. In Christ's name I pray.